Hey, everybody. It's the Checkers or Wreckers show on Speedway Anywhere, your Speedway podcast for everything motorsports and even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. Feel free to join the show. Call 917-889-2053. We're live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. For those that need help with that, that's, Minnesota, a straight line down the Mississippi, that kind of time. I'm your crew chief, Q. Team Captain Kurt will be joining us as well. Let's start out with one of the dominoes of the puzzle has fallen in place for 2019. Ryan Newman is out of Childress Racing from the number 31 and has made it official. He's made announcements that he will become the veteran teammate to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. when he takes over the pilot ship number 6 at Roush Racing. I think this is going to be a great fit. It's a good move that will bring Roush back up the ladder. It will give them, it will propel them to where they used to be, especially after Ford needed some help. And that's when Stuart Haas Racing jumped on board after driving Chevys for years and obviously have had a lot of success between Tony's championships, Kevin Harvick's championships, the wins from Kurt Busch, and then, of course, now that Eric Almirola's in the number 10, he's done rather well there. The Rocket Man, though, Ryan Newman, as he has been known, is also an engineering major, understands a lot more than just what it takes to put the pedal down and get the car around the track. He's an engineering degree, and I've also heard he was one hell of a linesman in football while earning that degree. The other shoes to fall have been Jamie McMurray's deal at Ganassi, which he'll be stepping out at Ganassi after next year's Daytona 500. And Martin Truex, his pending status of where he's going to go, 99% likely to take over the 19 at Gibbs Racing. We already know for sure that the 78 team is closing its doors. Other than that, we got Kurt Busch, who's, nothing's official, but it appears he's leaving the 41. The ride of Casey Kane. Casey Kane will be retiring. And where prospect Matt DiBenedetto will go, like I've said in previous shows, I think he is a guy for teams to chase after. I think he's a lot better than what his equipment has been. And then, of course, who will take over the Junior Motorsports number 1 when Elliott Sadler retires at the end of this year? Daniel Suarez possibly being the odd man out, with Truex possibly moving in. And a partridge in a pear tree. But the cards are starting to fall. Let's go green flag and drop the hammer. As far as the Cup Series, lunchtime is over for the first round of the chase. Halftime at Richmond, it showed last year's champ, Martin Truex Jr., is the man to beat, especially being the highest finisher at Vegas. Truex collected the first two stages at Richmond, and it was Kyle Busch of the Big Three getting the big V. Harvick of the Big Three was closing in on the final laps, but wound up second. I think if Harvick had about 5 more laps, he would have got Kyle Busch for the win. Third place went to Martin Truex Jr. of the Big Three. Vegas was somewhat of a fluke. Kyle Busch went lawn mowing. Harvick ended up in a wreck with Eric Jones, where Harvick finished 39th, Eric Jones finished 40th. The 2018 dominant drivers are showing that they are still the factor if anyone wants to bid for the finale at Homestead. Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski are locks for the next round. They both have wins. Keselowski at Vegas, Kyle Busch at Richmond. And of course, that was Brad's big three. He won three in a row leading up to that last one at Vegas. Martin Truex Jr. and Kevin Harvick are next based on points. So we got Kyle Busch. In the finish there at Richmond. And Logano rounded out the top five. So, final finishing positions at Richmond were Kyle Busch winning, Harvick second, Truex third, Chase Elliott fourth. That's what I missed out on in the last paragraph. He needed that fourth. He's not sitting well for points. He's outside of the top 12. But Eric Almirola also started strongest of the Stewart teams at Vegas. He took a top five. So he's sitting pretty for points. Austin Dillon, whose only feather in his cap was the Daytona 500 win, he finished sixth. Dillon rode outside the top 16 throughout the entire year going into the chase, but of course had that one win of anyone outside the top 16. He had the win to lock him in. That's just the way it plays out. He may just get further in the chase than many anticipated, including myself. He's doing okay points-wise to stay within the top 12 after the Roval. I'm not going to go through the whole 16 drivers, but Denny Hamlin outside looking in to the next round is probably my biggest surprise. He's the final 16 spot. And he was last week at Vegas. He was still in the 16th spot at Richmond. Eric Jones, 15th, has that one win that locked him in and sat inside the top 16 in points as well. Jimmy Johnson, he needs to just plan for next year as he sits 14th in points. This is kind of an anomaly. Everyone's got their chinks in their armor, and this has been a big one on Jimmy Johnson. Clint Bowyer is on the cusp in 13th. He needs some luck at the Roval at Charlotte to point his way in. I believe Clint Bowyer has won on a road course, but this is no ordinary road course. I don't think luck will be enough for 14th through 16th in points. Don't get me wrong. 5th through 16th aren't even 100 points apart. And when you base it on, stage points and whatnot, a guy from 7th could end up 16th, and a guy from 16th could end up 7th, but that's a whole nother story. There's only one more race to make it happen for 12 to make it in through the next round. The Roval is going to be luck of the best and who have strategy, and they got to unload off the truck fast. There's not enough time on that brand new track to sit around and experiment. So I don't think lucky guys are this is hard to explain. I don't think the lucky guys are going to have strategy to achieve some luck. The turns are tight. It's a brand new world. I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's also remember drivers outside the 16 could steal a win and make the guys inside the top 16 have to rely on points instead of wins to advance. Somebody could steal that win who isn't even eligible for the championship. So know when you're in as far as that goes. This goes for every round, too, including the finale at Miami. Xfinity, Christopher Bell got the job done. And if not for the wreck between Allgaier and Cole Custer at Richmond later in the race, Bell may have had more competition than just Ross Chastain, who performed awesome, and Dale Jr. This was the first of the X Series, the Xfinity Series, as far as their chase goes. Most say Allgaier and Bell are going to be the two that settle it. I beg to differ. It's been quite obvious that once upon a time, not long ago, Ross Chastain jumped in the Ganassi X car, Xfinity's car, and showed his hand. He had got his first 2018 win in that 42 car at Vegas. Ross Chastain so far is slated to run in the number four again, the car that he's been running most of the year. Outside of that number 42, but I have a feeling that there will be, probably a little bit more support from the Chip Ganassi Racing team for, just said four again, four. I think they might stand in and, who knows? Maybe the 42 car will have a number four on the side of it so they can help Ross Chastain progress and contend for the championship at Miami. Sentimental favorite, Elliott Sadler had fans on his side as he ran his last race at his hometown Virginia track. Sadler ran consistently in the top five and even was knocking on the door of leading. He instead landed sixth at the finish. But I think he's going to be okay going into at least the final round before Miami. Dale Jr., who came out for a one-off race and said he wasn't going to get competitive, he wasn't going to race hard, said he just wanted to get out of the booth and have some fun. Well, he ended up leading the most laps of the race with 96, ended up finishing fourth. I do somewhat wonder if Junior wanted to let the season regulars, you know, go for the win you're in guys to advance to the next round. That would appear to me to be his style. He didn't want to go and dominate and steal everyone else's thunder. He went out. He had his fun. He got competitive. He shows he still got it. That's the first time I've seen him in the Xfinity series. But here's Christopher Bell with his post-race interview.
Christopher Bell climbs out of the car after that huge win, hands the flag over to one of the fans. Christopher, you did it, buddy. You are moving on to the next round of the playoffs.
I'll tell you what, buddy, that's pretty cool. It's not very often that you get to win with a car that's not a winning car. So we'll take it, and you know, just thank you to my pit crew for the awesome pit stops tonight. Jason Ratcliffe did a great job making this thing better each and every time we hit the hit pit road. So man, I'm just pumped. This is so to be able to sweep Richmond and to get five wins on top of that, moved around two, I just couldn't be happier.
And with your fifth win, your fan base is getting bigger and bigger. What do you want to say to these fans here tonight?
I want to say thank you. But more, yeah, thank you guys for showing up. But more importantly, we're racing with heavy hearts for a fellow sprint car driver, Greg Hodnett. He lost his life last night. So I'm thinking about him. There's a lot of us that are thinking about him. So that's a priority.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
Christopher Bell, your winner tonight, the Go Bowling 250.
So there's Christopher Bell, and as mentioned, Greg Hodnett, 1993 Rookie of the Year in the World of Outlaws, and nearly 1,500 starts. Lost his life at BAPS Motor Speedway Thursday, September 20th. In Newburytown, Pennsylvania, like I said, 1993 Rookie of the Year. Friday and Saturday's events were actually canceled for the World of Outlaws in respect to Greg and his family. I hate this part of my job. I really do. And that is reporting the fatalities. I have watched Greg through the last 25 years. He's ran against veterans like the Kenzers, the Swindells, others, teams fielded by Tony Stewart, Casey Kane, Dave and Dale Blaney, and predecessors before that in the World of Outlaws. Greg Hodnett, 129 wins, 1,422 races. Can you imagine that? That's just like, that's a baseball schedule. 1993 up till now, 1,422 races. I mean, they said that Dick Trickle won over 1,000 short track races. And I mean, Greg Hodnett was, he was a road dog. Wherever there was a race, he got there. Multiple championships and many more in other series as far as wins go. Greg Hodnett was 49 years old. This also after Jason Johnson lost his life earlier this year in the World of Outlaws event at Beaver Dam Speedway. Gotta take a breath. Go join that Speedway in the sky, Greg. We'll be right back.